This Tattva Darshan, we thought to speak something on the Srimad Bhagavatam, chapters, the 10th canto, chapter 29 through 33, which is known as the Ras Lila section of Krishna's Vrindavan pastimes with his intimate Brijvasi devotees, the Presha Alibi, his beloved, dearmost, confidential gopi lovers and friends in Vrindavan. The Acharyas explain that in the 90 chapters of the 10th canto, there are five chapters in the 10th canto, and even in the Srimad Bhagavatam as a whole, these five chapters of the 10th canto are called the Panchapran. Panchapran means the five life errors, because the entire Srimad Bhagavatam, from canto 1 to canto 1 to canto 12, the 12 cantos, are considered to be Bhagavat Sarup, the very form of Krishna. It's been often told, and it's mentioned in Padma Puran, that the first and second canto of the Lord are his transcendental lotus feet, Bhagavan Sri Krishna's beautiful bluish, dark blue lotus feet. And as the cantos progress from 3 to 4 to 5 to 6, they go to the legs and knees and waist and chest. And when we get to the 10th canto, the 10th canto is called the Face of the Lord. It's the face of Lord Sri Krishna. The face of Krishna in his sweet form, his Madhurya Purushottam form, Purnatam, Madhurya Purnatam Bhagavan in Vrindavan, Sri Shyamasundara Sri Krishna. And then Purnatara Bhagavan in Mathura, Purnatara Madhurya Bhagavan Sri Mathuranath. And then when Sri Krishna relocates to Dwarka, he is Purna Madhurya Bhagavan. Some Aishwarya is mixed there. So this is the 10th canto, the Vrindavan, Mathura, and Dwarka Leela of Bhagavan Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They are all considered to be the face of the Lord. 10th canto is the face of the Lord. But the Acharyas, Vaishnava Acharyas, say that the five chapters of the 10th canto describing Krishna's Vrindavan Leela with his gopis, known as the Ras Leela, in Hindi we believe it's called the Rasa Panchadhyaya. Panchadhyaya, the adhyaya means chapter. The five chapters of the Ras Leela, these are considered to be the smiling face of that, the smile on the face of the Lord of the 10th canto. And moreover, as I previously mentioned, many Acharyas say that these five chapters are the very Panchapran. If we take the entire Srimad Bhagavatam to be the transcendental form of the Lord, beginning from first and second canto, beginning with the lotus feet of the Lord and up his legs, and when we finally, we're talking about the entire, complete, beautiful form of Lord Sri Krishna, then we have his full body, feet, legs, hands, arms, chest and back, face, and then the 11th and 12th canto are considered his mukut, his crown, and his peacock feather atop his beautiful divine head. So every living person has pran, the life energy, panchapran, the five life airs, apan, udan, and saman, there's different airs going, moving throughout the body to maintain the existence of this body. So the Rasa Lila is considered Krishna's Pancha Pran. It's his very essence of his existence. It's his everything. That being said, we thought to give some discussion here about the main theme of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Rasa Lila, 10th Canto, 29 through 33. It's all about love, Krishna Prema, in its highest form, Madhurya Prema, conjugal love, the Parakiya Bhav, the love between a man and women that are not his wife, paramour love, upapati bhav, beyond my pati. The gopis, of course, are all married to various brajagopas like Abhimanyu or Govardhana Mala in Chandravali's case. And they run out every night and whenever they can in the daytime and afternoon to meet clandestinely and intimately with Shyamasundar in the groves and valleys and caves of Govardhan and kunjas and lakes and rivers of Vrindavan. This is totally transcendental divine love, completely different than the so-called love we see, read about, hear about, experience life after life in our material sojourn in these bodies in this world. So we thought we'd discuss a little bit about this love principle. And then, as an overview, read the chapter summaries of the Bhaktivedanta Book Trust of each of the chapters, 29 through 33. It's some thoughts, some ideas, and some remembrance in a summary way of Krishna's most beautiful, topmost pastime in Vrindavan. So what is love? Love, as it is commonly thought, it's the medium of feelings by which the lover and beloved contact each other in an experience of union. Conjugal vilas, ruti vilas. In normal circumstances, two individuals cannot have union with each other for any amount, by any amount of mutual affection, because real union is not possible. Union means one, two become one. No matter how much they show affection towards each other, the husband and wife, the man and the woman, they can never really have union because each, the husband, wife, they maintain their formal self-identity. They think, I am the husband, this is my wife. I am the wife, this is my husband. I am the lover, this is my beloved. I am man, this is woman. She is mine, he is mine. She is to be enjoyed by me, he is to be enjoyed by me. This is all duality. So there can't be really union. Because of this strict maintenance and attachment to one's formal individuality, his self-identity as man, woman, etc., husband and wife, the two individuals cannot lose themselves. One cannot lose oneself and the other. Thus, mundane love, material love, or human affection is actually an artificial mechanism which promises a union between the lover and the beloved. But in reality, when they combine or come together confidentially and intimately, that union doesn't actually fulfill the promise. Material love between men and women of this world inevitably ends in sorrow, bereavement, and death, because the principle of separation is permanently present even when two individuals, husband and wife, are attempting union through sensory and mental acts of mutual contact and embrace, kissing, etc. On the other hand, spiritual love, divine amor, prema, Krishna prema, Bhagavan prem, is a completely different, is of a completely different nature than mundane material union between wedded wives and husbands. However, persons engrossed in the bodily concept of life cannot experience the state of divine love, which does not require an object outside itself, and therefore eliminates the necessity for any endeavor for external physical contact with another person. Divine love, spiritual love, is the intimate exchange of pure spiritual affection between the individual soul and the Supreme Soul, Sri Krishna. Atma Bhagavan Prem Sambandha. That Supreme Soul, the Paramatma, Antaryami, Super Soul, Sri Krishna, he is internally and externally connected, naturally and eternally connected in divine union with every individual soul. Mamevamsho jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana. Now that we discussed briefly the problem with material love, and then mentioned the actual fact of real love, let's discuss something about the Ras Lila as way of an introduction. The divine love, spiritual amor of Radha and Krishna, depicted in the Srimad Bhagavatam, especially chapter 29 through 33, beckons us and calls us forth to a supra-mundane form of spiritual longing, which is inconceivable to a person whose mind is attached to matter and physical bodies made of flesh and fat. The Rasa Panchadhyayi, chapter 29 through 33 of the Srimad Bhagavatam, is the topmost description of Sri Krishna's dramatic pastimes, through which pure divine love reveals itself in transcendental action and ecstasy. Srila Shukadev Goswami concludes the Ras Lila narration by giving a Shruti Phal, a verse of benediction, a blessing, the fruit of hearing Ras Lila. He says that the faithful reader, Shraddha Andvita, chapter 33, verse 38, he will become free from mundane lust and quickly attain pure love of God, Krishna Prem. As it is said, for those who believe, no explanation is necessary. For those who do not believe or have faith, no explanation is possible. This, of course, applies to Shukadev Goswami's Shruti Phal. He's promising you have faith and you're pure-hearted and you're surrendered and you're offenseless reader of the Bhagavatam. In other words, you're a sincere devotee of the Lord. He's promising that by hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, such a person, such a qualified devotee, which is not that high qualification which he is giving, he'll be blessed by the power of this Shruti, Srimad Bhagavatam, Puran. He'll be blessed to become free from the kamam ridrogam, the vicious disease of the heart known as lust, which we all know too well. So if we have faith, we're Shraddha Andvita, we have faith and we believe that Krishna is the Supreme Lord, and there is a place called Goloka Vrindavan, and there's transcendental people there with rasas and loving exchanges as mother and father and friend and servants and lovers and wives and all these things there in Dwarka and Mathura. We believe all that, which is in the Bhagavatam, then actually no explanation is necessary. We believe it, we accept. Belief means I have love, I have trust, I have confidence, and acceptance. I fully accept it. The Bhagavatam says it, Shukadeva Goswami says it, I'm a devotee, I'm surrendered to Bhagavatam, I'm surrendered to Krishna. Fine, I accept it. Let me read and wait for the results and get that benefit. So desirable, so necessary, so needed. So I don't need any explanation because I believe. Therefore the adage, the proverb says, for those who believe, no explanation is necessary. And for those who do not have vishwas or shraddha, for those who do not believe, no explanation is possible. They will never ever understand it, never believe it, never follow it, and consequently never read the Ras Lila description in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Shukadev Goswami stresses in that verse 10:38-33, I believe, he says that the only requirement to get this wonderful benediction, blessing and boon of freedom from heart disease, the only requirement is shraddha, faith, belief. However, there's a problem. Because in this fallen, most contaminated age of Kali, practically everyone, every person is a skeptic, an agnostic, and a blasphemer. They reject the Vedas, it's irrelevant, it's antiquated, mythology, unscientific, useless. And who, maybe there's a God, maybe not, I don't know. And then skeptics, how is this possible? What such a disease that I've had for millions of lifetimes, written rogam kamam, heart disease of lust, it's burning me at every moment from puberty to death. It can go away simply by reading 5 chapters of a book? I'm a skeptic. So these personalities who are everywhere in Kali Yuga, they will see this statement in Bhagavatam, then they will look at Krishna's Leela and say, just see. Krishna's lusty. And various other offensive ideas. Such people, non-devotees, they will perceive defects in divinity. They will see the dark carbon in the dazzling diamond. And the quote, lusty affairs, apparently lusty affairs of Krishna and the gopis in the Vrindavan Leela of Bhagavatam, is actually the very perfection of spiritual purity and divine love between Radha and Krishna, completely free from a drop of mundane lust. It's pristine, pure, crystal clear, selfless, self-forgetful, pure love. The supreme spiritual emotion is described by Rupa Goswami and others as Mahabhav. This is the topmost experience, the quintessence of Krishna Prem. And Srimati Radhika is the personification of Mahabhav. Mahabhav Surupini Shri Radha Ki Jai. The intimate loving pastimes of Radha and Krishna are extremely confidential and imperceivable, even to those who are filled with dasya, sakya, or vatsalya bhavs. Only the brajagopis are eligible to fully relish and understand these intimate pastimes of divine love. The sakis and manjaris and anyone who worships Radha and Krishna in the mood of the brajagopis can enter these transcendental pastimes. What is a sakhi? What is a manjari? A sakhi manjari does not yearn or hanker to play with Krishna all by herself. She actually enjoys more in arranging for Krishna's love dalliance with Radha. Radha is compared to a kalpa taru of love, a wish-fulfilling tree of prema for Krishna. And the sakis are leaves and flowers on that prem kalpa taru. That creeper of divine love. When Krishna enjoys with a creeper named Radha, then automatically the leaves and flowers shiver in delight. And Krishna's Kaviraj explains in Chaitanya Charitamrita that those leaves and flowers on the creeper, they enjoy, which means the sakis and manjaris, they enjoy a million times more than if they were directly embraced by Krishna themselves. This is a transcendental paradox and a fact. What more do the sakis do? The sakis, they help send Krishna to Radha so he may embrace her and enjoy Radhika's company to his heart's delight. The unselfish devotion of the Braja Gopis towards each other strengthens the deliciousness of the taste of rasa. Krishna is pleased by their pure, selfless prema. The love the gopis feel for Krishna has nothing at all and no resemblance whatsoever to earthly lust. Mundane material lust seeks sense gratification for one's own self. I like it. I want it. I need it. I enjoy the activity. However, the gopis, believe it or not, have no selfish desires at all. They only speak and act and move and walk and sing and dress for the enjoyment of Krishna. And from time to time, when they do embrace Krishna or kiss him or dance with him, it is only to give him pleasure because he desires their association. This selfless, pure love, characterized by the Brajagopis, is known as Madhurya Bhav. Bhakti culminates in Mahabhav. The nine forms of bhakti, beginning with hearing, Shravanam Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, are actually levels or steps or gradations of divine love. The last, Dasyam Sakyam Atmanavedanam, the ninth, Nava Virabhakti, the ninth step or the ninth limb is actually the ninth gradation of bhakti. The final point, Atmanavedanam, is the last stage in bhakti. It is the highest gradation or level of love. Atmanavedanam, level of bhakti or love, is known as Parabhakti or Madhurya Bhav. At this level, the heart is the real flower which is offered to Lord Krishna. In Mahabhav, the Lord and the Beloved actually become one. There and only there, in the spiritual realm with Krishna and his beloved gopis, is their true union of lovers. They become one in divine union through the intensity of pure love, in the mood of total self-giving. Radha's mood is 100% mood of self-giving and dedicating and pleasing and serving Krishna. And Krishna's mood is not that, oh, I'm enjoying, this is so wonderful. His mood is the same. Total self-giving, dedication, serving and pleasing his beloved Srimati Radharani. This, and nothing short of this, is pure spiritual love, divine amor, Radha Krishna Prema. At this highest level of Mahabhav, there is the closest relationship between the devotee and the Lord. However, there is no sensuality or even a tinge of carnality in Mahabhav, which means erotic sex enjoyment or mundane enjoyment of union. In the material world, passionate people whose minds are saturated with lust and sex desires can never understand this bhav, mahabhav of Radha. Consequently, when such passionate mundane people who may be professors, commentators, teachers in colleges and universities, or the regular person who reads Krishna's pastimes, they will criticize that according to the laws of Dharma, as much as they understand what is the meaning of quote-unquote Hindu Dharma or religious principles, such people who themselves are totally lusty and totally attached to their personal enjoyment in whatever form they can get it, they will criticize and say, oh, this is immoral. Krishna's activities with the gopis are immoral. They're irreligious. They're despicable, deplorable. Ha! How could this happen? They'll criticize and say that Krishna has broken all dharmic principles. He's stolen other people's wives. He has no morality at all. They will say Krishna has committed adultery by secretly sporting and dancing with the wives of other men in the dead of night in the forest, as he did in the Rasa-lila. Let's hear a pastime from Gopal Tapani Upanishad. There are 108 Upanishads. Of course, there's actually unlimited numbers, but there are 108 famous or prominent Upanishads. And of those 108, 12 of them are very famous and popular with Vaishnavas, worshippers of Sita and Ram, Lakshmi Narayan, and Radha and Krishna. Isa Upanishad, Kena Upanishad, Mukundaka Upanishad, Katha Upanishad, and Gopal Tapani Upanishad. For Gaudiya Vaishnavas, our acharyas, and our Mahajans, they very much appreciate Gopal Tapani Upanishad and write commentaries on it and give classes, and because it teaches many important principles about divine love and about Krishna in Vrindavan. There's a story in Gopal Tapani Upanishad describing how once the Braja Gopis asked Krishna which Brahmin could they offer food to in order to obtain a boon or a blessing, a favor. Krishna told them they should approach Durvasa Muni, who lives on the other side of the Yamuna, across from Mathura. The gopis would have to cross the flood-filled waters of the Yamuna with its big waves in the rainy season. When the gopis incredulously asked, how is it possible? How can we cross? So vast and wide and deep and dangerous. Krishna replied, oh, it's not so difficult. You simply ask Yamuna Devi, you request Yamuna Devi to give way, to allow you to pass through her waters, simply by mentioning the name of Nitya Brahmachari Krishna. And then Yamuna Devi will instantly allow you to walk across without any effort at all. The gopis became extremely amused and giggled and laughed, looked at each other. They were completely somewhat skeptical about it. But they believe whatever Shyam says, they love him, they accept him. So they did what he told, and lo and behold, The river Yamuna gave them passage. All the swirling whirlpools and high waves and vast waters of the Yamuna just reduced to ankles depth, and they walked across. Why? Because actually the Yamuna knew the real Sarup of Krishna. It is a fact, as is described in the Gopal Tapani Upanishad, that Krishna is the embodiment of spotless pure divine, spotless divine purity. He actually is an eternal brahmachari. And as the book mentions, Krishna's name, one of his most popular names, is Gopal. As you know, Sanskrit can have many meanings. So our acharyas, they explain that this word Gopal is two words, go and pal. Go means jiva or ego. And pal means maintainer, protector. Gopal therefore means that Gopal Krishna is the protector of the jivas. Go also means earth or prithvi, and it also is known as prakriti. As distinguished from the supreme Purusha, or male, known as Krishna. All jiva souls are prakriti. So Gopal means the Lord and protector of all the jivas. The gopis in Vrindavan were the medium through which Krishna expresses the infinite variety of his bliss, the aspect. In their previous births, some of the gopis, as is told in the Bhagavatam, were sages in Dandakaranya forest who had seen Ramchandra in Treta Yuga. Upon seeing Lord Ram, they felt a strong urge to embrace him like a conjugal lover. However, as everyone knows, since Ram had taken a brata of only accepting one wife, ek patni brat, he, being merciful and compassionate, he promised those sages to fulfill their desire for conjugal enjoyment during his advent as Krishna in the future, Dwapara Yuga. Then, the sages were born in Vrindavan as gopis, sadhana siddha gopis. And although these sages had their parents and husbands and children, their minds were always fixed on Krishna. As soon as they heard the flute song of Krishna, the gopis renounced everything. Everything and offer themselves completely unto the Lord. Nothing in the world could stop the gopis from running to Krishna. This is the highest form of pure bhakti, wherein nothing and no one in the world stops the jiva from running out to Krishna when he's called in the heart by the sweet Lord's love song of his flute. Krishna actually performed the rasa dance and showed it to the world for a purpose. Many purposes. One is to destroy the mundane carnality or erotic conjugal enjoyments of mundane people by means of prema or pure love. when the gopis approached their sweet lord, they were devoid of any human passion and desires for material sense gratification. In other words, they were free from all tinges of lust or calm. Their approach, their attraction, was the natural attraction of the soul for the super soul. The gopis offered themselves entirely for the service of the Lord. They were permeated and saturated with Mahabhav, Atmanavedanam, to the maximum. Sri Krishna is known as Lila Purushottam, the topmost male, Purushottam, the topmost personality, and the jivas are Prakriti. The jiva Prakritis are always feminine in mentality or mood. In devotional practice, one should always consider oneself a female in mentality to be enjoyed by the Lord. Krishna is the supreme male, the Lord of the universe, reflected in the heart of the devotee. The gopis were not in the material world, nor did they have the slightest touch of material consciousness. Kam, krodh, lobh, moh, mada. By the austerities performed in their previous lives, they had become completely purified. And now the Brajagopis existed in spiritual bodies, siddhadehas, suitable to serve and please Shamsundar, Radha. Who is Radha? What is the identity of Radha, who is the chief of all of Krishna's lovers, his paramour lovers? Radhika, or Srimati Radharani, is the queen of all the beautiful gopis. She is the abode of Krishna's worship, Aradnam. Swayam Aradnam, Radha. She is the abode or the very realm of Krishna's worship and love sports. Radhika sees and beholds Krishna in anything and everything she sees. Excuse me. Radhika beholds and sees Krishna in anything and everything she sets her love-lit eyes on. In other words, she has fully realized that shloka from the 6th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, verse 30. Yo mam pashyati sarvatra sarvam cha mayi pashyati tasyaham na pranashyami sacha me na pranashyati. Sri Krishna said to Arjun, for one who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me, I am never lost, nor is he ever lost to me. Radhika is the perfect embodiment of this shloka. Radhika beholds Krishna in anything and everything she sees. Radha is Krishna's supreme matchless lover. Kishori is part and parcel of Sri Krishna, like all of us. And she is Krishna's personal bliss potency, Ladini Shakti. Srimati Radhika's sole object of existence is to fulfill all of Krishna's desires. She lives only to please and satisfy Krishna. Srimati Radhika is also known by the name Krishnamayi in the Puranas, because Sri Radha is full of Krishna inside and outside. Radharani is the supreme goddess and enchantress of Madan Mohan. Therefore, she is known as Madan Mohan Mohini. Sri Radha is the chief of Krishna's divine energies. Srimati Radhika is the fountainhead of all beauty. And Pyariju is the source of all the beautiful Lakshmis and queens of Dwarka and all the other gopis. Sri Krishna's internal potency, Sarup Shakti, is composed of Ladini Shakti, which acts and moves and exists to give delight and happiness to Krishna and his devotees. The essence of Ladini Shakti is selfless Krishna Prem, Ananda Chinmaya Ras, and the quintessence or highest expression of that Ananda Chinmaya Ras, Ladini Shakti, is none other than Mahabhav Sarupini Sri Radha. Srimati Radhika is the embodiment of Mahabhav. Sri Radha is Krishna's chief sweetheart. All the Lakshmis in Vaikuntha are Srimati Radhika's Vilas Murtis. The Dwarka queens, as beautiful and graceful and elegant as they are merely reflections of Sri Radha. Lita, Vishaka, Vyashchasakis, and all the Brajagopis are direct expansions of Radha's divine body, Kayavyuha. Sri Radha pervades the gopis in her subtle form in order to expand Krishna's pleasure. Srimati Radharani is Krishna's delighter, his charmer, and his life's all in all. Sri Radha is the crest jewel of all celestial beauties. Radha and Krishna are as inseparable as fire and heat, ice and its coolness, flowers and their fragrance. The transcendental divine form of Radha is composed of concentrated loveliness and sweet tenderness for the happiness and pleasure of Sri Shyam Sundar. And the essence of Radha's Mahabhav is Krishna Prema. So this concludes our introduction to the most auspicious and sublime description of Krishna's Ras Leela in the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Following this, we will read the summary descriptions of each chapter of the 5 chapters. And the whole idea of this introduction and this outline reading is to whet everyone's appetite and to attract everyone to dive deeply into the unlimited ocean of Prem Ras in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And now we're going to read the BBT chapter summaries of the Ras Lila, just to give everyone an overview of the beautiful contents of those chapters, and also to inspire the devotees who hear these summaries to actually dive deep into the five chapters of the Rasa Dance and read the verses and the purports. Chapter 29, Sri Krishna and the Brajagopis meet for the Rasa Dance. In chapter 29, Krishna desires to enjoy the Ras, but when he meets the gopis, he engages in arguments and counter-arguments with them. And there's a description of the beginning of the Rasa Dance and the Lord's disappearing from the midst of the gopis. Remembering the promise that Krishna had given to the gopis when he had stolen their clothes in Mrigashirsha month, when they were worshipping Katyayani to attain Krishna as her husband in the month of November-December after Kartik, Krishna utilized his yogamaya potency and manifested within himself the desire to enjoy pastimes during the autumn night. He played his flute, and upon hearing it, the gopis became affected by the impulses of Cupid and were violently aroused. As a result, they instantly abandoned their household duties and ran to meet Krishna. All the gopis had purely spiritual bodies. But when some of the gopis' husbands and other family members stopped them from going, Sri Krishna arranged for them to temporarily exhibit material bodies, which they then left at the sides of their husbands. And this way they deceived their relatives and went off to meet Krishna. When the gopis came before Sri Krishna, he asked them, "Oh, gopis, why have you come to the forest in the middle of the night? It is not good for you to travel to such a lonely place in the dead of night, for this forest of Braj is full of violent creatures. Not only that, your husbands and children will soon come searching for you to bring you home and engage you again in your household duties. After all, the prime religious duty for a woman is to serve her husband and children. For a respectable woman to consort with a paramour is totally contemptible and sure to obstruct her progress to heaven. Moreover, one develops pure love for me not by physical proximity, but by hearing topics connected with me, by viewing my deity form in the temple, and by hearing topics connected with me and meditating upon me and faithfully chanting my glories. Therefore, all of you would do best to return home." Hearing this from their beloved Shyam, the gopis were crestfallen. They cried briefly and replied with a bit of anger, "It's very unfair for you to reject young girls who have abandoned everything in their lives and come to you with the exclusive desire to serve you. By serving our husbands and children, we receive only pain, whereas by serving you, the dearmost soul of all living beings, will perfectly fulfill the true religious duty of the self. What woman will not deviate from her prescribed duties as soon as she hears your flute song and sees your form, which enchants the three worlds? Just as the Supreme Lord Vishnu protects the demigods, you destroy the unhappiness of the people of Vrindavan. Therefore, Shyam, you should immediately relieve the torment we have felt because of separation from you. Wanting to please the gopis, Sri Krishna, who is always satisfied in himself, responded to their appeals by playing with them in various pastimes. But when this show of attention from Krishna made the gopis a little proud of their position, Shyam humbled the gopis by suddenly disappearing from the arena of the rasa dance. Thus ends the summary of chapter 29. Chapter 30, the gopis search for Krishna. We ended chapter 29 by hearing that the gopis became proud of attaining the intimate association of Shyamasundara. So to curb their pride, he disappeared. And now they search for him like mad women from forest to forest in chapter 30. When Krishna suddenly disappeared from the Rasa Leela, the gopis, their minds fully absorbed in thoughts of Shyam, began looking for him in the various forests. From all the moving and non-moving creatures, the damsels of Brajabhumi asked for news of Shyam's whereabouts. Finally, the gopis became so distraught and anxious that they began imitating Krishna's pastimes. Later, while wandering in the forest, the gopis saw Sri Krishna's footprints, which appeared mixed with Srimati Radharani's. Seeing these footprints perturbed them greatly, and they declared that surely Srimati Radharani must have worshipped Krishna with unusual excellence, since Radha had been privileged to associate with Krishna in seclusion. Further along the path, the cowherd damsels came to a place where they could no longer see Srimati Radhika's footprints. Then they concluded that Krishna must have lifted Radharani onto his shoulders to carry her. And then later, they noticed that Krishna's footprints were only showing the depression of his toes in the ground, indicating that he had been picking flowers to decorate the hair of his beloved. And in another spot, the gopis saw signs that led them to imagine that Krishna was had been tying the locks of Srimati's hair. All these thoughts in their minds brought great pain to the gopis. Because of the special attention she received from Krishna, Sri Radha began to consider herself the most fortunate of all gopis. Radhika told Shyam that she could not walk any further, and he would have to carry her on his shoulders. But just then, Sri Krishna disappeared from Radha's sight. Radhika, extremely troubled, began looking everywhere for Shyam. And when she finally met her gopi girlfriends, Radha related to them what had happened. Then Radha and all the gopis, Paksha, Vipaksha, Surit, and Tatastha, together went looking everywhere for Shyam. They went as far as the moonlight reached into the deep, dark depths of the forest of Vrindavan. But when they could not find Shyam, they returned to the shore of the Yamuna and simply sang of Krishna's glories in utter helplessness. Chapter 31, Gopi Geet, the Gopi's songs of separation. Chapter 29 ended with the gopis all collected on the banks of the Yamuna, separated from Shyam, who left them all. They sat down there, and with great eagerness and utter helplessness, they began to sing, praying for Krishna's darshan. The gopis had dedicated their minds and their very lives to Krishna, and they were totally beside themselves with transcendental pain of separation. But the gopis crying, which appears like proof of misery, actually shows the exalted state of their transcendental bliss. It is told, Yatadeka Vaishnaver Vyavaharaduk Nishchaya Janiyase Paramananda Sukh. Whenever one sees a Vaishnav acting unhappily, one should know that this is only external, for internally he's actually experiencing the highest spiritual bliss. In the same way, each of the gopis began addressing Shamsundar according to her individual mode of ecstasy, and they all prayed for him, for his mercy. The pastimes of Krishna spontaneously arose in the minds of the gopis, and as a result, they sang their song, which relieves the agony of those suffering from the burning pain of separation from Krishna. And this Gopi Geet bestows supreme auspiciousness. They sang, O Lord, O lover, O cheater, when we remember your smile, loving glances, and pastimes with your gopas, we become very agitated. Remembering your lotus face and locks of blackish hair smeared with the dust of the cows, we become irrevocably attached to you. And when we remember how you followed the cows from forest to forest, go Charana Leela, with your tender lotus feet, we feel great pain. In their separation from Krishna, the Brajagopis considered a single moment an entire age. Yuga yatam name shena chakshusha pravisha yatam shunya yatam jagat sarvam govindavirahiname. Even when they had previously seen Krishna, they had found the blinking of their eyelids intolerable, for it blocked their vision of Shyam for that fraction of a second. The ecstatic symptoms for Madhav that the gopis expressed may appear like mundane material calm or lust, but in reality, these ecstatic sentiments of the gopis are manifestations of their pure desire to satisfy Shyam's spiritual senses. Thus, there was not even the slightest trace of lust in the gopis bhav. Chapter 32 of the Rasa Leela, Rasa Panchayi. Panchadaya. The Reunion, Chapter 32 of the 10th Canto. Krishna manifests himself in the midst of the gopis, consoles them, and they express their deep feelings to him. The gopis, having shown in various ways the great eagerness to see Madan Mohan, suddenly Shyam appeared before them wearing silken yellow garments and a beautiful flower garland. Some of the gopis, overwhelmed with ecstasy at seeing him, grasped his hands. Others placed his arm on their shoulders, and others accepted the remnants of betel nut he had chewed into their own mouths. Thus, the gopis serve Sri Krishna. One gopi, impelled by loving anger toward Krishna, bit her lip and looked askance at him. Because the gopis were so attached to Krishna, they were not even satiated by continuously gazing at Krishna. One gopi placed Krishna within her heart, closed her eyes and embraced Shyam within herself again and again, absorbing herself in transcendental bliss like a great yogi. In this way, the gopis felt relief of the pain of separation from Krishna. Next, the gopis and Krishna strolled to the bank of the Yamuna. The gopis made a seat from their chuneris, or veils, and he sat down with them on their veils and enjoyed by gesturing amorously at his beloveds. Still, however, the gopis felt hurt over Krishna's disappearing from them. So he explained why he did it. And he told them that actually he was fully controlled by their love, and because of that would remain forever indebted to them. Chapter 33, a final chapter, the Rasa Dance. Sri Krishna is expert in knowledge of transcendental moods. In the company of the gopis, who were tightly bound to Shyam by the ropes of affection and totally dedicated to Krishna's service, Shyam expanded himself into numerous forms to enjoy with his beloved girlfriends. The gopis became intoxicated with their enthusiasm to enjoy the rasa dance, and they began to satisfy Shyam's senses by singing, dancing, and gesturing amorously. The sweet voices of the gopis filled all the directions. Even after Krishna manifested himself in numerous forms, each gopi thought that he was standing next to her alone in one form. Gradually, the gopis became fatigued from the continuous dancing and singing, and each of them placed her arm on the shoulder of the Krishna standing beside her. Some gopis smelled and crished. Some gopis smelled and kissed Krishna's arm, which bore the fragrance of the lotus and was anointed with sandalwood paste. Other damsels of Braj put Shyam's hand on their bodies, and yet others gave Krishna pleasure by embracing him lovingly. Sri Krishna is the supreme absolute truth, the only actual enjoyer and object of enjoyment. Although Krishna is one without a second, Shyam expands himself into many forms to increase his personal pastimes. Therefore, great scholars say that Sri Krishna's Rasa Lila is like a child playing with his own reflection. Sri Krishna is self-satisfied Atmaram and fully endowed with inconceivable transcendental opulences. When Krishna exhibits pastimes like Rasa Lila, all the living beings, from Brahma to the blades of grass, become merged in the Buddha-ras, astonishment. When Maharaj Parikshit heard the narration of Krishna's conjugal pastimes with the gopis, which superficially resemble the activities of lusty, wanton, material men and women, Parikshit expressed a doubt to the great devotee, Srila Shukadeva Goswami. Shukadeva dispelled the doubt by stating, since Sri Krishna is the absolute enjoyer, such pastimes as the Rasa Lila can never be contaminated by any fault at any time. However, if anyone besides Krishna tries to enjoy such pastimes as the Rasa Lila with the wives of other men, he will suffer the same fate that someone besides Shiva would suffer if he foolishly tries to drink an ocean of poison. Not only that, one who even thinks of imitating Krishna's Rasa Lila will certainly suffer misfortune. The Supreme Absolute Truth, Satchidananda Bhagavan, Sri Krishna, is present within the hearts of all living entities as their indwelling witness.